Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be here until 2 o'clock. Hopefully, I guess, if you have been trying to listen to the station here today, they've had some problems, but seems like they've got the parts necessary to fix everything and the right people at the right place, and I think they've got things going. Our engineer, Eric, assures me we're on the air now. So, welcome to the program here this afternoon. And again, if you've been trying to listen to the station here today, it should be fixed and everything should be up and running. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And we're going to take a look at a couple of things. And we are live. And you can give us a call here this afternoon if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program here today with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity beyond the air. Thank you. They're able to get the problems worked out so that we could broadcast today. And just pray, Lord, that you would just bless the program, use it for your glory, help us to be a blessing to somebody today. And thank you for the opportunity. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al and AM 1220. The Word is back on the air. I actually just got a text message saying that that somebody's listening to us on the air right now. And my wife is listening to us. So she just texted said that she can hear us on the air. So we're doing okay. And I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. Our telephone lines are open, and you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here with us with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word here today. And I guess in light of everything else that's been going on in the news and all the reports of the Russians, you know, supposedly hacking the election and all that, we should blame this on the Russians, right? You know, the station was off because the Russians were hacking us, I guess, maybe. But it works for everybody else. But let people know if you know somebody who likes to listen and they've not been listening to the station today because Pastor Lutz's program for the cause of Christ would have normally preceded us today, and he was not able to be on today because of that. So if people weren't listening and you know that they normally listen, why don't you give them a call? Let them know that we're on the air and that we are going to get with things here. And 888-677-9673 is a phone number. And we want to touch a couple of things there and probably some of the news that we've heard. They found the guy, I guess the guy that they believe was the guy that drove that truck into that Christmas market in Berlin, in Milan, Italy, I believe it was. He was shot dead in a shootout with the Italian police. And pray for that. I also got some other news that we might be able to get to here in a little bit today, but it appears that there may be some hope for the heartbeat bill. Remember, the governor line item vetoed that, I believe it was, but there is breaking news. I saw on Facebook Chris Long, the Ohio Christian Alliance, and some other people had put on here that Speaker Rosenberg has sent a note to the Ohio House members. If needed, session days have been scheduled for Wednesday, December 28th, and Thursday, December 29th, 2016, to override Governor Kasich's vetoes. And pray about that. his veto could be overridden. And so give your state representatives a call, send something, an email to them, whatever that you can right now. You know, there's a opportunity there that in Wednesday and Thursday, they could override the governor's veto of the heartbeat bill, which is actually an amendment to another bill, and it would effectively ban abortions beyond, I believe, it's 6 weeks or so of pregnancy, the time when a fetal heartbeat can be detected. So pray for that. That's an exciting possibility. It's not completely over yet. Well, we're going to get to a caller here right away, and we have got Don calling in this afternoon. And Don, welcome to the program this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Pastor Al. You're doing a great job.
Well, thanks. And I want to thank you for tuning in and listening, because, you know, they had some problems today, but glad you're on.
That's okay. You know, on your station at 7:30, you got the two talking heads that come on that have this Christmas controversy going on. I don't know if you got a chance to hear those. I believe it's Three Angels Ministry.
I'm not familiar with that program. I wasn't listening to it.
Okay, well, what it is that they claim, based on research by the Southwest Radio Church, that the birth of Christ was actually on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And there was reading from one of the Southwest Radio Church, which I really like. These guys are good. I mean, they're...
Oh, yeah, Southwest Radio Church. Yeah. They are very good.
Yeah, they're pretty solid. I don't agree with the pre-trib, you know, how they, you know, run that one. But it was interesting that they did this research, and they based it on the taxation of, you know, Caesar and this and that, and he wouldn't tax somebody in the winter because it'd be such a hassle trying to get, you know, get to the places of their birth to register. But it was interesting that how they did it. They said it was on the 29th of September in 4 B.C., and they said that now Christ was probably conceived around the 20th or so of December to come into that 9-month cycle on that. And I was thinking, you know, I'm doing some research on this, and I came up with, and now this is in Europe, not so much here, but they had two of Santa Claus's helpers. One is named Black Pete.
Right, Black Peter, yeah.
Yeah, he's basically a slave that, you know, was passing out gifts for the good kids. The other helper is a creature named Krampus. Did you ever do any research on Krampus?
Yeah, he's the one that visits the bad kids.
He does more than the
Yeah,
business,
I was
know, but,
cleaning that up a bit.
it's horrible. And they show pictures of this thing, and I don't, because children might be listening, I'm not even going to describe this. You
like
know?
I said, I cleaned it up quite a bit.
No, you did a great job, Mom. I said, you're Mr. Clean. And, you know, so we have to understand, you know, now I grew up Roman Catholic. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Catholicism, but we're required to go to church on Christmas. It is a holy day of obligation. And a holy day of obligation means that if you break the obligation, then you commit what's called a mortal sin. In Catholicism, we had two sins. One is a venial. It's like stealing candy, lying, or cheating on an exam, stuff like that. But the big ones, they call mortal. And basically what it means is death to the soul, unless you receive the sacrament of penance or confession. You got to confess your sins to a priest. You know, it's
right, yeah, because they had basically departed from the biblical principle of Jesus Christ forgave us of all sin when he died on the cross, and we trust Christ as our Savior.
100% correct, yeah. You know. And I just tell my Catholic family and all my friends, look, just read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
When you petition the Lord in prayer, you leave those sins at the cross.
Yes,
nobody has
absolutely
to even hear about your sins, you know.
Yeah, now, we were talking about the date and everything. There is a good clue also in Luke chapter 1. On when he was might have been born, if you follow some of the timing there in Luke chapter 1, where it says in verse 5, there is in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And the key with Zacharias being of the course of Abiah, you see in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 10, that he had the eighth course that Abiah or Abijah did. in the service in the temple, and you know, there's I don't know that anybody's ever going to solve the date completely, but it is interesting that when you follow through at the time that he would have been serving in the eighth. Let me see here. You called about this. I actually happen to have a paper here, and the Hebrew calendar, of course, beginning in the month of Nisan, which would have occurred mid-March to mid-April on our calendar. The priests who served in that, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 24, and you follow the coursing of the eighth course, that would have put, the eighth course would have been in the month Heshvan, which would have corresponded about mid-October to mid-November on our calendar. So Zacharias would have been serving in the temple basically in the fall when Gabriel appeared there in the temple in Luke chapter 1 and told him that he and Elizabeth were going to have a son. When he completed his service, he would have went home probably, you know, toward the end of October, and it would have been after that Elizabeth would have conceived. So her conception might have been October, November time frame. And then 6 months into her pregnancy, of course, Gabriel appeared to Mary and said that she was going to bear a child. And so what's that give us? November, December, January, February, March. So we're getting into the March to the April time frame. And then that would be 6 months for her. So let's say March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. So that would put the birth of Christ in the December or January time frame, because remember, the Orthodox celebrate Christmas in the first week of January. So that's...
Well,
that's,
it's interesting. Southwest Radio Church explained that quite well. They were saying, I guess, Zechariah, his position was that he had to, like, light the lamps, trim the
wood, right.
like that. Yeah, and they said that, and it was. They also did the chronology where, Elizabeth was 6 months ahead of Mary.
Right. That's what the Bible says. Yeah.
And the way they calculated it, it came out to the conception of Jesus was probably around the 20th of or 25th of December. Now, it's interesting, though, there are about 9 pagan deities. One being a quote, Talmuz. Because even in Scripture says, and the women were weeping for Talmuz.
Right. Yeah, that was back in the Old Testament. Let me think here a minute. Semiramis was his mother, the wife of Nimrod.
Yeah, exactly. And what it is that, so they drew all these chronologies together, and so they came out with the 29th of September in the year 4 B.C., and because, you know, of course, they used the where the shepherds were still in the field. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then they went into the three gifts. And the gifts were not given by three wise men. They don't know how many wise men there were.
Oh, yeah, there could have been a bunch, or there could have been one or two. Two, at least, to be men.
They were coming from the east, and they had a huge caravan because of the robbers and some of the crime, incorporated on the way in and out.
And they were most likely the Parthian Magi. Which, the large empire that was the rival to Rome that was on the eastern side of the Euphrates River. And that would also explain why Herod and all of Jerusalem was troubled, because if you had a large representation, which probably would have included a number of troops for security accompanying the wise or the Magi and their servants and different ones that were with them, along with the gold, silver, frankincense, or the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, you can see where Herod had been troubled with the large Parthian entourage camped outside of his city.
Oh, yeah, definitely, it was interesting how the pagans knew about the birth before, the high priest had to be examined by Herod. They missed the whole, the whole production.
Yeah, and with that, it's kind of like with the second coming of Christ. The Bible talked about how certain people were looking forward to his first coming. Of course, there was Anna, the woman, and Simon, the old man, that was told that he would see the Lord's consolation and all. And so there were people who were looking, because people who read the scriptures and believed them, unlike some of the Jewish leaders, they knew that it was the right time the right time frame. They didn't know the exact date. The Parthian Magi, one of the reasons that I believe it was the Parthian Magi is the Parthian Magi, they followed genealogies and maintained genealogies because the emperor of the Parthian Empire had to be certified to be a direct bloodline descendant of King David, the Hebrew king, because the Parthians were not Persians, even though they occupied Persia. They appear to have been the descendants of the Hebrew slaves that were taken into captivity by the Babylonians that never went back to the land. And their descendants eventually founded the Parthian Empire. And the title of the empire, tell me if this name sounds or title sounds familiar. His title was King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Whoa.
Isn't that good?
Well, now, I tell you, see, now that bothers me, and I'll tell you why. The Pope is often referred by Catholics as Holy Father.
Mm-hmm.
That occurs only one time in Scripture, and that's referring to the Father. So he's taken that name, and basically that's blasphemy when you do that.
Oh, yeah, because he calls himself the Vicar of you know, God or Christ.
And you know what's also troubling is that, you know, the Pope, and this one is real, I don't know, you know, Francis is getting everybody upset. But the problem is that they've always, the past three or four popes in a row have always criticized the lifestyle of America. They say we live in too much luxury, we're rich, we have too much discretionary cash. But I'm going to watch it, you know, this Christmas too, you know, Midnight Mass. When you look in there and you see this obscene opulence, this richness, these golden candelabras and all the pageantry and that, and this guy has the audacity to say that we're living beyond our means when he is, I mean, it just really, you know, we had a famous radio talk show host down here on WNIR named Howie Chizik. And Howie
used to listen to him a lot.
Oh, yeah, Howie used to say, hey, look, if you really wanted to solve the problems of these third world nations, why doesn't the Pope just go down in the basement, mm-hmm. take one of his pictures, sell it? It's more than the national economic standard.
I was just thinking of that because, you know, we were having this discussion at our Friday night Bible study last week where we were talking about the wealth that they have. There's you know, vaults in the Vatican that nobody's allowed into. Artwork, gold, all kinds of treasures that they could just go in there and open some of that up, and they could, you're exactly right. They could solve a lot of the problems with poverty and the poor, selling a few of their trinkets.
Yeah, during World War II, they had what was called the Blue Army, and they secured a train full of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once it was delivered, the Blue Army were killed. And these were, you know, Catholics. So, you know, and I know now in Poland, they're looking for this mystery Nazi train that's supposed to be, you know, full of gold and that. They're doing, like, radar scans, you know, ground-penetrating radar and that, trying to look for it. But, you know, of course, the Vatican was involved in the rat line, where you had, I think, up to 30,000 Nazi war criminals that were given safe haven into Uruguay, Paraguay, Argentina. And nobody has, you know, I mean, those were little tiny nations. Why didn't we go in and capture those people? Because of the influence of the Vatican.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you something else, too. You're talking about the Blue Army and the gold shipments. Some of that, and admittedly, this is third-hand information, but there was a gentleman who I knew of, shall I say, who's been dead a number of years, who was a German immigrant for after World War II. He wasn't on our side. And he actually knew my older brother quite well. And he alleged that there was a particular farm in Germany that there's some poor farmer who's sitting on a gold mine and doesn't know it because when the Allies were coming in, they had to ditch the gold because it would, you know, been war crime to be caught with it because they had looted it. And they went down in a well on this farm, and he said that he knew approximately where it was, but he died with the knowledge, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, things like that have happened during World War II, and you're absolutely right. These things carry through, and getting back to the opulence and the gold and everything, you're absolutely right. The Vatican has been, you know, overseeing this for centuries.
You know, it was interesting. I was trying to follow up on this one crime that occurred. The Vatican's librarian loaned his car to two, I guess, mechanics to have it serviced, according to, you know, the Vatican statement. These guys were busted in France with 4.4 kilos of crack, you know? And so what happened was, you know, they had the car towed, and they were showing you the car, and I had to laugh, Pastor Al, because they, and then the Vatican acknowledged, yeah, these guys were, they were supposed to have it serviced, but they decided to go into France, and they made some deals and whatever, whatever. But, you know, the car was a Jaguar. I mean, this guy's not going to drive some Ford Focus.
Yeah, but actually, to be fair, having spent a bit of time in England when I was in the Air Force, you could buy a cheap Jaguar, a cheap BMW, a cheap Mercedes, what we would consider expensive cars over here. And speaking of being in the Air Force, when we talk about that, you know, a lot of people forget that the Vatican is actually an independent state in addition to being the headquarters of the Catholic Church. It's a state, a sovereign state in its own right. And, you know, Catholics hold dual citizenship in, you know, like, say, the United States of America. They're a citizen here, but they're also a citizen of the Vatican. And
yeah, and they have the right to coin their own money and also print their own postage.
Yes, and here's the thing. You know, we talk about intelligence agencies that the, you know, various governments of the world have. Think about this. I don't know if you've ever been in the military or not, but...
oh, yeah, I'm a vet.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for your service. But what branch were you in, by the way? What branch were you in?
I was Army.
Oh, okay. If you remember, everywhere you were posted, there was probably a Catholic priest, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, we had a chaplain.
Right. Now, think about this. In the base that I was at, you know, the Catholic chaplain, he had the equivalent clearance to whatever the highest clearance on the base was. He had. And when we had briefings, we had a weekly thing, for instance, and the briefing basically was above top secret, and the Catholic priest sat in on it all the time because, you know, the reasoning goes that he has to be able to hear the confession of any Catholic, member of the military, which is understandable with, you know, freedom of religion and all that. But if you think about that, doesn't that make for the best intelligence gathering system ever?
They have the best ever. It rivals our CIA and the Mossad.
Yes, and it's not just in one country in military. It's in the militaries of countries all over the world, and it's been there for hundreds of years.
Exactly right.
Amazing. You know, and like you said, the accumulation of the wealth, the accumulation of the knowledge. And I apologize, Don, we're about out of time here. We've had an interesting conversation here talking about some of these things. But when you think about that, you can see what a success the devil has had. I know we were talking about Christmas a little bit earlier, but you can see what a success the devil has had confusing so many people around the world.
I'm going to go with this because I knew you probably want to run with something, but look up the Hubble telescope had a direct connection without being censored. It went to a Jet Propulsion Laboratory. It went to, I think, the
Vatican Observatory.
And also the Vatican.
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah. They've been doing that since Galileo was operating his telescopes there with the Pope's
and
blessing.
And he got busted for it.
Actually, he didn't get busted for what he did scientifically. He got in trouble because he was saying things about the Pope and the Cardinals. If you really look into the history there, that's because most of them believed the world was round at the time that the sun revolved around the Earth. So.
They had the heliocentric, and Copernicus, he at least had the smarts to keep his mouth shut till he was on his deathbed before he learned what happened to Galileo.
Yeah, well, hey, I appreciate your call there. I'm going to have to let you go because we're about out of time. But you have a Merry Christmas, and I thank you for calling. And I want to thank people for listening today. And do tune in on Sunday night. We'll be on from 11 o'clock until midnight. We'll be on live on Christmas night. And if you don't have anything, join us Sunday morning at our church. Information is following. God bless and Merry Christmas.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.